Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Healthcare Business Women's Association Blog Talk Radio Show. My name is Julie Kelly, and I'm not only an HBA volunteer leader, but your host for the 2018 HBA podcast programming. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the HBA, it's a global nonprofit organization comprised of individuals and organizations from across the healthcare industry, committed to achieving gender parity in leadership positions, facilitating career and business connections, and providing effective practices that enable organizations to realize the full potential of their female talent. Now, each year, the HBA hosts a European summit with content specific to the development of women in the business of healthcare. And today, I have the pleasure of speaking with three HBA leaders from our European region, Catherine Schoenburn, Marina Gillick, and Daniel Albers, to recap the 2018 summit and share some of the key takeaways and learnings from this event. So, welcome, ladies.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Oh, almost in unison. Thank you. And, you know, as always, before we get into our discussion, and we'd like to learn a little bit about each of our guests. And we're going to start today with Marina, who was the chair for the summit this past year, and kind of find out the nuts and bolts of the event. So, Marina, welcome. Tell us a bit about yourself and what you do when you're not planning HBA summits.
Thank you, Julie. Hello, everyone. My name is Marina, and currently I'm a researcher in strategic management focusing on healthcare at University of Cambridge. Prior to that, I worked in various strategic and marketing management roles with Boston Scientific and Smith & Nephew.
Great. So how did you get the honor of leading this wonderful event? You know, tell us a little bit about your history with the HBA and volunteering and when they first roped you in, et cetera.
Sure. 2018 has been nicknamed the Year of the Woman. And the momentum of this movement can be seen so vividly in HBA's Europe region and especially in the summit. Therefore, I'm humbled and honored to have the opportunity to step into the leadership position which oversaw the signature event planning that celebrates leadership so together we can continue moving the gender parity needle and impact the healthcare industry.
Great. So, Marina, had you volunteered prior to this point with the HBA?
No. I started as a summit deputy in 2017, and then in 2018, I stepped into the position of summit director.
Excellent. Excellent. So, it is the Year of the Woman. What was the theme for the 2018 summit?
Well, this year's theme focused on entrepreneurship in healthcare and life science. Attendees had the opportunity to learn how to identify their purpose, how to influence and manage people, and how to share their passion through the art of storytelling. The summit also provided a chance to participate in interactive workshops, listen to textile talks from successful young entrepreneurs, and expert keynote speakers who were talking about the innovative leadership styles that can be accomplished through entrepreneurship.
Excellent. So all about entrepreneurship and innovation. That sounds great. How many people attended and where was it held?
Well, the conference was held in Berlin, Germany. More than 250 attendees from across Europe and the U.S. arrived at Berlin's Axica Congress and Convention Center, which world-renowned architect Frank O'Gary described as the best thing he has ever done on 11th of October for day one of the two-day summit.
Excellent, excellent. So it sounds like you had people from all over there and a wonderful venue. Can you just give us a little idea of some of the keynote speakers?
Sure. Well, keynote speaker Jean Bolger, vice president of venture investments, Johnson & Johnson Development Corporation, shared on the difference between innovation as an idea and entrepreneurship as an enterprise, between diversity and inclusive leadership, and how J&J Innovation Labs supports these innovators. Seven entrepreneurs shared the TED-style truth about their paths from inspiration and innovation to running their very own businesses. HBA announced their research findings regarding the entrepreneurial pathway to success and launch of HBA's brand new entrepreneurship affinity group. Three educational sessions were also made available to attendees for their professional development in specific leadership skills before the day's event culminated with a large networking reception. Day two of the program opened with Merck Healthcare CEO Belén Garijo keynote on leading for the future in healthcare, immediately followed by her daughter Irene Mora Garijo, honest and striking presentation on the challenges and benefits of having a working mother as a role model, helping many in the audience manage the uncertainty of the impact their careers may be having on their children, and to realize that not only are working mothers great role models, but are creating strong women of the future. Gender parity and the gender pay gap were discussed in a panel discussion with representatives from EY, Pfizer, Seniors Health, Nuvasiv, and Sanofi, which gave attendees takeaways to combat unconscious bias and become a part of the united force for change. One of HBA's 2018 ACE Award winners, KPMG, shared their findings as well on the GEM, which is a three-day survey of their life science employees across the world around diversity and inclusion issues within the company, which helped determine five teams they can take action against in order to improve.
Wow, what a jam-packed schedule, and a certainly very relevant topic. I am going to put this on my calendar for next year and maybe couple it with a European cruise. Not sure just yet, but it sounds like it's not to miss event. So, Marina, thank you very much for that overview. I really appreciate your effort behind this. I know it's a lot of work putting these conferences together and summits together. I've done it many times myself. But, you know, we'd like to delve into two of the areas that were covered in the conference. And the first one I'd like to get a little deeper with is to really learn more about that HBA Entrepreneurial Affinity Group that is coming to fruition in Europe. So, Dagmar, I heard you are the head of that, and I'd like to welcome Dagmar Albers and find out a little bit about you and this initiative. So welcome, Dagmar. Tell us a bit about yourself and your profession, your passions, et cetera.
Hi, Julie. Pleasure to be here. So, yeah, a day time, like today, I work at Pfizer in the UK as an implementation lead in the UK commercial team. And as my title might indicate already, I'm really passionate about innovation, experimentation, and of course, with that, of course, comes entrepreneurship. And I will probably tell you more about this a little bit later on. So that's my professional life. And in my private life, I'm very much into all kinds of sports, but sailing catamarans and cycling all kinds of bikes are the really true love of my life. And the other love of my life, my darling boyfriend, shares luckily the same interests.
Wow. And that's another thing I will do when I come to the summit. I'm going to go cycling with you and your darling boyfriend, because anyone who's darling, I need to see. So thank you. Dagmar, welcome
to the
show.
We have lots of bikes in the chat, no problem.
I'll bring my helmet. So, okay,
yeah,
so Dagmar, tell us a bit about your tenure with the HBA, the kind of roles you had in the association, please.
I actually have been a member since 2012, But I have to admit, I never really did much with it. And in between, shame on me, I even left the HBA. And then a colleague at Pfizer just voluntold me and said, you have to come back. We need people like you. And HBA is so great. And I said, yes, actually, it is, you know. So I came back and then I said, right, this time I really have to do more and step up. And just instead of just going every now and then to an event or doing a webinar, I said, I really want to volunteer. Started to look for volunteering roles. And then last year in August only, it was when the entrepreneurship rule came out.
Wow, what an opportunity and a match for you. And, you know, I echo your comment there. The HBA is a great association to be a member of, but you really don't reap the full benefits of membership unless you volunteer. And, you know, and the volunteer experience for me has been really, really wonderful. I've been able to connect with a lot of folks, do things I normally wouldn't do in my day job, and moreover, really expanded my network, my ability to access a lot of other executive women. So thank you for taking on this role. So tell us a little bit more. You know, this seems like it was a shoo-in for you, leadership for the Entrepreneur Affinity Group. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, it's definitely a shoo for me because entrepreneurship is really one of my passions. I'm really into innovation and human-centered design thinking, experimentation, and I truly believe that companies need people with an entrepreneurial mindset. And these are really the people who have an approach and an attitude towards thinking which actually really actively seeks out change. These are the guys who are probably a bit annoying to their big bosses, you know, but those are the guys who are really innovative, disruptive, who do all the critical questioning, you know. And it's not easy to be a person with an entrepreneurial mindset. But on the other hand, if you're not disruptive these days, we as a business will get disruptive. So I think these people will become more and more important. So also when this rule then came up in the HBA, and then I talked to Katrin, who interviewed me actually, I really couldn't resist, also because this group didn't exist before, so I could build it from scratch. And that, of course, is something which sounds too good to be true, really, and it's a lot of fun because you really can put a lot of your fingerprint on it and work with a lot of people who've never done it before, but that makes it exciting, too. So the whole affinity group is very entrepreneurial, too, in itself, you know, so that's cool.
That is really cool, and it'll be a lot of, I'm sure there'll be a lot of discussions and a lot of people with some great ideas, and I think it's great to be able to build something from scratch. I agree with you, and what an opportunity for you. So tell us, how are you building this offering for the HBA? Tell me a little bit about your process.
Happily too. So we started actually really, really classic because we really sat down to the core group and said, like, how does success look like? Really, that was the first question we asked ourselves. So we set up an objective. And then once we had the objective, we said, all right, now, what does need to happen so that we actually achieve this objective, right? So we made a long list of things. We thought, these are all the things which need to happen. And then with that list, we really could cluster all those actions into a grid, asking ourselves just two questions, like, how much impact will that have on the overall success? And then, how certain or uncertain is it to achieve it, right? So the certainties and high impact actions being like, so, okay, just do it, right? But for the uncertainties, we actually wrote a risk mitigation plan to really have an idea what might go wrong and what can we do about it now. And that really helped us to come up with an overall roadmap and action plan. And as soon as we had that, we started to recruit volunteers. And last year at the summit in London, we had already a flyer ready with kind of work streams we thought we might need, and offering leadership roles and giving more volunteers a chance to really sniff into new areas. I call it sniffing in into new areas, very German way of saying it. But it's really great because there was so much to do. We needed quite a few people to help us. And we got quite a few ladies and even gentlemen in, who helped us and who really could step up and experiment with something they haven't done before, like event planning or making a brand diamond or some branding or doing communication, whatever you need to build such a big, such a new group, you know. So that was really nice. Then while we've been doing all that, we really realized we need to gain insights actually into the women with an entrepreneurial mindset as well as into the investors. And we just did that. And we have now two wonderful pieces of market research we are very proud of and to be presented at the summit in Berlin.
Wow, excellent. It sounds like you really have a groundswell there and a lot of interest, which is what you need to really get this up and running. And I also want to mention here, it's really evident that you brought your best business practices to the HBA in putting together this process for building this offering. It's, you know, I can see a work plan here clearly. And again, it's by applying your best work practices, business practices, you're going to get this up and running very quickly. And we look forward to it. So where are you now in the process?
Currently, we have an art board of six wonderful people who are giving us a lot of advice, and two of them are actually startups, and two are sitting in a big company like Pfizer, being corporate leaders, and two are ladies who own their own company with a tried and tested business model. So we really try to have an art board which everybody else has an entrepreneurial mindset too. And then we have a working team where we actually do the work in the moment of roughly 50 ladies and gents, which is great. And many of those are really active, and I can't thank them enough actually, because without them I wouldn't be anywhere. And I think one of our biggest achievements is that we have within the HBA site our own community site. So everybody who's listening, please go there and join. And there we have already about 50 members. It's growing. We plan to grow it more. And this is our place where we have posted the HBA Summit presentation, which was actually quite entertaining. We have two detailed market research, one with entrepreneurs and one with investors. There's a presentation of all the steps we have taken in detail. What our objective is, how our branding looks like, you know, what we're doing with mentoring, etc. And for next year, actually, I just had the idea to do some podcasts and some webinars with investors, with entrepreneurs, with inspirational leaders who are building an entrepreneurial team. I just met a guy, a professor from Belgium, who is into innovation, so he could give us a speech about how to be an entrepreneur within a big company, for example, and stuff like that. So yeah, it looks really good, and we try to keep it busy.
Yep, absolutely. So next year you're really looking to raise the awareness of the affinity group of the HBA members, and certainly we'll be using this podcasting platform to do that. And you know, the networking will be really important for women with an entrepreneurial mindset. I know in the U.S. we have an affinity group, and all of our entrepreneurs, you know, come together to have connectivity with other entrepreneurs and with the HBA. And this community site's really going to help you. So you also mentioned something about collaboration with the mentoring program. How is that helping your entrepreneurs?
Oh, a lot, because when we made the research, networking and mentoring is the one thing, because the funny thing is, it doesn't matter if you're an entrepreneur within a big company or if you're doing your own startup or opening up your own company, you know. I think one of the very first things everyone has to battle with is you're pretty lonely, because if you're an innovator, if you're an entrepreneur, you know, it comes with a certain amount of loneliness. So it's really good to have somebody you can talk to about it. And also, if you're a bit of a, it's not necessarily that you're a disruptive personality, but if you have this attitude and you're driving actively change, you're not the most comfortable person to have in a team, right? It's super needed, but you're not always liked. So I think that's one of the main reasons why a mentor can help you really a lot going forward, and also keeping you sane And also if you open up your a new company, that helps you too to stay sane and getting reassurance that you are actually doing the right thing.
Absolutely. Mentorship is wonderful, and it can really help with self-awareness. Mentorship, someone taking a step back and you say, you know, you've got all this energy and you're disruptive, but how do you translate that energy to build relationships and build your business? So, Dagmar, thank you so much for your leadership, stepping up to do this, the European chapter. It's really going to benefit not only the HBA members, but all entrepreneurs. So I thank you for that. Okay, our third guest is Catherine Schoenburn. Yeah, our third guest is Catherine Schoenburn, who's been a longtime HBA leader in our European chapter and a key contributor to the HBA growth. So welcome, Catherine. Tell us a bit about yourself, your professions, your passions.
Hello, everyone. Happy to contribute to this podcast. I really love the idea. And before I start to talk about me, I actually wanted to highlight and build on Dagmar's contribution. The excellent and wonderful work she has done was actually recognized with an Innovation Award by HBA Central just recently. So I thought I need to mention
this. Wow. Thank you.
We are all very proud here in Europe. Good. So about me, let me start with my professional life. I work with Merck KGaA in Darmstadt in Germany, and I am the Global Head Integrated Planning Analytics and Partnering in our Biopharma R&D organization. I've been in the industry more than 25 years in different strategic and operational leadership positions in business development, commercial, and R&D, and I have done various things, including building and leading teams and running smaller and larger functions, working a lot also in designing and implementing change, and all of this to drive results. I have many passions in my private life. And one of them is really a deep-rooted sense of fairness and equality, and others are health and lifelong learning, including developing others. And this is probably all, this is all very well combined in the HBA, and this is why I think I'm so passionate about volunteering with the HBA. If there's still a little bit of time left, I love outdoor sports like hiking and traveling and sometimes cooking.
Great. Great. We get along just fine, and I'll be sure to stay with you when I come over for the summit. I'll be biking with Dagmar. I'll be going my river cruise, and then I'm going to come to your house, and you're going to cook me and I'm getting my trip planned, ladies. Marina, we have to find a studying and doing research. I'm still working on it. Yeah.
Well, so, next year we are in Paris, so
everyone's looking for a long time. Yo, great. Okay, I'm going to get the dates and get that marked on my calendar. All right. So Catherine, what's your tenure with the HBA? You have a lot of roles professionally. Can you tell us a little bit about your HBA roles and, you know, how you've been such a big contributor to its growth?
Yeah. I started to become an active volunteer with the HBA in 2010. And before that, actually several years before, I was inspired by my number one role. Still is my number one role model boss, although I had many in my business life. She had this really wonderful balance between business focus and people orientation, and she at that time co-founded the HBA North Carolina chapter and told me about it, and I was really inspired, and then I said, once the HBA comes to Europe, I would love to get involved. And then the HBA came to Europe, and there were events in Basel and in Paris, and this was just too far away. So I then decided to be an entrepreneur and to start the Frankfurt location, as we called it at that time. So I mobilized people around me, and then we had our launch event in 2010. So in the first years, I was the director in Frankfurt and helped to lead Frankfurt to a really strong location for the HBA in Europe. I also mobilized many volunteers and also members. And then after 3 or 4 years, I continued my European kind of HBA career with different roles, and this culminated in me becoming the regional council chair since earlier this year. And I would say in particular the last 2 to 3 years, we have put much focus with the whole leadership team on recruiting passionate and experienced volunteer leaders, and also invested into building a high-performing team, also with strong connections to our corporate partners. And I see this as one key contributor to our growth, to really have this passionate, however also professional, volunteer leaders that want to come to gender parity and are all combined and try to achieve our ambition.
Wonderful.
I was in 2010, maybe to add, at that time I also convinced my company actually to become an HBA member. And the company has been a member since then and is actually also supporting the HBA quite a lot, including the summit in Berlin we talked about before. And as a recognition, I was honored as an HBA luminary for my company in 2015. Yeah.
Well, congratulations to you, and thank you for all your work. I agree with you, getting strong leaders and your corporation behind you to be involved in the HBA is the way we're going to change things in the workplace for women. So thank you, Catherine, for all of your work. But today I'd like to pivot and kind of take away and kind of focus on the takeaways you had from the summit with regards to the gender parity disparity of the workplace, the research that was done in Europe. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm happy to do this. So in Europe, as a region, we also have an advisory board. And together with this advisory board, we have actually identified the gender pay topic as one key element of our strategic imperatives for the HBA in Europe. And in order for the HBA to contribute to this topic in a meaningful way, we partnered with one of our advisory board members from Aon to conduct a gender pay disparity analysis across all of their life science data they have in Europe. So the results, which are based on data from around 50,000 men and 50,000 women, were shared during the summit in Berlin. And it became very obvious that Europe has a problem overall when it comes to gender pay disparity. And the gap is bigger than in China or the U.S., for example. So this was one of the key learnings from this survey. However, what we also learned is that we really need to be careful because there are differences in relation to countries, functions, levels, for example. And there are certain areas where in some of the focus areas women earn even more than men. So very interesting data, very positive feedback from the audience. And then at the end we decided, because these data are so rich and relevant, that we are actually working on a report to be communicated more broadly next year. And we also want to not only highlight that there is an issue, but we want to bring this together with some positive examples from some of our corporate partners where they can share what they did to actually overcome this or address this. So this is work ongoing, so stay tuned. There will be more to come.
Wow, what eye-opening research. But, you know, you have to have information to be able to react and make a change. So what are some of the ways that we can move the needle for gender pay parity in the workplace? You know, what kind of steps can be taken? Can you share an example?
I'm a friend of practical steps and also measuring results. So I would probably encourage all to encourage their companies to first start with looking at the gender pay situation, and then if there is a problem, to articulate it and to offer to partner to get it addressed. And then let's continue to push to publish the data. We all know that awareness is often an issue, is the first step to actually addressing it. And this is also why I am so excited and my colleagues about the data that we have been analyzing and that were analyzed by Aon. This is really such a rich source of content and impact that gives the HBA in Europe a different opportunity to be visible and have an impact beyond events, networking, and mentoring. And this is really something also we as a region want to focus even more on in the future in 2019 to move even more towards action and impact.
Yes, absolutely. And it's through the work of leaders like yourself, Catherine and Dagmar, that we can really move the needle forward when it comes to gender parity in the workplace and gender pay in the workplace. So I agree with you. That which is measured is achieved. If you don't know where you are, how can you move the needle? So, ladies, it has been a pleasure chatting with my European sisters this morning. I look forward to coming to see you all and attending your summit next year. I hope our listeners have some great key takeaways from the summit and understand what the HVA is achieving in Europe. And I hope you all plan to attend their summit next year. Again, thank you for your participation. And everybody, if I don't see you before, have a great New Year's and best of luck in your 2019 objectives professionally and with the HBA and personally. This is Julie Kelly signing off for the HBA.